And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Whenever I have the occasion to speak about the devil or the subject of evil, I frequently get almost a surreal feeling, as if I'm talking about some fictitious character. But then I read the scriptures, and I watch the evening news, and I'm reminded again that the evil one is at work in this world, and he relishes in wreaking havoc in human lives. C.S. Lewis, in the preface to his very clever work, Screwtape Letters, writes this: "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight." If you read through the scriptures, you will have no doubt that the devil and his minions exist. But it will also be made clear that the Lord has not left us unarmed in our confrontation with them. The church, of course, is quite realistic about this. At every baptism, we are reminded that the Christian life is a battlefield, that we are engaged in warfare against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We even pray that the one who is baptized would manfully fight under Christ's banner against these enemies and to continue Christ's faithful soldier and servant unto his life's end. Our epistle lesson and Old Testament lesson for this Sunday remind us of two truths. One, that the Christian life is in fact a battlefield. And secondly, that Christ is with us in battle. Regarding the first of these themes, that the Christian life is a battlefield, the whole thrust of our epistle lesson argues this very point. We're told to put on the panoply of God, the whole armor of God. We're told that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And then we have described for us the defensive and offensive weapons which are provided for us in the battle. We need to hear this because all too often we walk around as if there is no battle. We mosey about without our battle array because we really aren't convinced that we're in a spiritual war zone. Imagine walking out into a literal battlefield without any armor or weapons as the bullets whiz by. That is how we operate most of the time. We think that we are living in a spiritual Switzerland when the reality is that we find ourselves quite often on the spiritual beaches of Normandy. But this is why the second truth from this passage is so vital. Christ is with us in the battle, and he will give us all that we need to accomplish victory. In fact, here is where our Old Testament lesson envisions the Messiah coming as a great warrior. In Isaiah chapter 59, Isaiah tells us that the Lord looked for justice and saw none, and so he brought salvation. There we're told that he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. He will repay his enemies according to their deeds. Here, Christ is envisioned as the great warrior, not something that we hear very often these days. He came to fight on behalf of his people. He waged war against the devil and won a resounding victory. But he won this victory by employing spiritual armor and weaponry. He triumphed over the devil, and he has bequeathed his armory to us that we might carry on the battle. This is why St. Paul tells us in the epistle to be strong in the Lord. We're united to him by baptism, and by virtue of that connection, we have access to his armory. In fact, here we have another clothing metaphor. echoing our lessons from last week. There we talked about being clothed with a wedding garment. Here we see that we are also to be clothed with Christ's armor. In fact, St. Jerome said that putting on the armor mentioned in this passage is another way of telling us to put on Christ himself. Each element of this armory is associated in some way with him. His armory includes the belt of truth. He told us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Walking and living in truth is so important in this battle because we are engaged with an enemy that Jesus said was the father of lies. St. Paul warns us here about the wiles of the devil. It was his lying that led our first parents astray in the garden. And it is the truth that will set us free from the devil's snares. The apostle also tells us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We're clothed with righteousness, with the righteousness of Christ. We talked about that last week in baptism. But we are also to walk in righteousness. Following Christ means conforming our lives to his. And his was a life of perfect righteousness. It is our life of upright living that will guard all our vital organs, including our hearts. We're also to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This imagery also echoes a messianic announcement from the book of Isaiah. You'll be familiar with these words if you know Handel's Messiah. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. That, of course, is a summary of our Savior's ministry. He came to proclaim the gospel of peace far and wide. But it is rather interesting that this concept of pronouncing peace would be considered a part of the Christian's armory. As we're engaged with the enemy, we continue to proclaim the gospel of peace. Maybe this is like a shout of encouragement both to ourselves and to those who stand side by side with us in the battle. The Prince of Peace is with us, and we are promised perfect peace when the battle is over. We're told to take up the shield of faith by which we might extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one. Here we imagine the liar telling us things like, Christ is not really with you. How could he care about a wretch like you? You're all alone and there's no one to help you. These lies come to us straight from the pit of hell, and they're sent by the devil like fiery darts to discourage us. But faith says, Christ has promised to never leave me nor forsake me. He bore all my sins in his body on the cross and has erased the charges that were against me. These are the answers of faith, and they serve to shield us from the devil's fiery darts. The final piece of armor is the helmet of salvation. How fitting that Christ fits us with defensive armor from head to toe. The final piece of armor protects our minds, our ability to reason, our eyes to see, and our ears to hear. Christ, who is our head, guards our heads. Then the apostle reminds us of the weaponry that is also ours through Christ, namely the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and prayer. It is worth remembering that the most vivid portrayal of Christ's battle with the devil took place in the wilderness. As Christ was engaged in fasting and prayer for 40 days, the devil came to him, perceiving that that was his weakest moment. He sought to lead him astray, posing three different temptations. But to each of these, our Lord responded with the words, "It is written." And then he went on to quote a passage of scripture that contradicted what the devil had said. And by doing so, the evil one was forced to leave him for another day. Christ overcame him through prayer and quoting scripture. And certainly this is instructive for us. If we would triumph over the devil, we too must watch and pray lest we enter temptation. And we need to spend significant time in God's word so that we might read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it, so that when the devil tempts us, we will have a ready response as our Savior did. Beloved, today we are reminded that the Christian life is a battleground. The evil one would like nothing better than to derail our walk with Christ. But knowing this, our Savior has given us all that we need for victory. It is left to us to appropriate the whole armor of God so that we might attain this victory. Let us take up this armor and follow our Savior by being constant in prayer and grounded in Scripture so that we might stand fast in the battle. Now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."